NFL insider, former Bucks GM, all around good guy. It is Mark Dominic. Good morning, Mark. Thanks for joining the show today.
Happy to be joining. You know, it's different to listen to what you're doing with the backpacks. My kids just left for school just now, so it's go time
that's
in Nashville
right.
already.
Wait.
Yeah.
Hold on. Okay, football talk in a second. Kids in school in August? What's going on?
Oh, yeah, that's the States. That's the U.S., buddy.
Oh, I never knew that. Is that true?
Yeah, well, they
congratulations, Mark.
But Matthew, know, they right? also they also end in like early June in Canada. They go to end of June, right?
Yeah,
so
we end in, actually we end in mid May, like late May.
Wow, even better.
Well,
congratulations is very well said. I appreciate it. I think the
yes.
same.
Yeah. Yes. Congratulations, Mark, on and listen, as a professional uncle, I know nothing about the struggle that you or Carlo have gone through. I'm going to start at a very different sort of place. We'll get a big picture in a second. But, Mark, did 31 general managers in the NFL screw up by not drafting Bills rookie punter Matt Araiza higher? The man went 185th. He had an 82-yard punt. We can joke about it.
He's
that
a
he's
god.
The Tom Brady He's going to be the punt god. He's going to be the Tom Brady of punters. But, like, just when it comes to roster construction, having a guy that can flip field position, having a guy that can make up for a bad offense, I feel like it doesn't get enough play, the importance of the punter.
Well, it really doesn't. Now, the sad thing is he was a touchback. I mean, come on, man. Just drop it into the one. You couldn't go 81
it was
yards.
A 62-yard net, you greedy man.
Yes. You selfish people. You know what? You're right, though. Special teams is a ton of hidden yardage, and it's not just you know the punter, but it's the return. It's the tackling. It's the kickoff, how you want to handle kickoff in terms of do you want to hang the ball up in the air or do you want this because you think he's a marginal returner? Do you want to drive it out of the end zone because you don't want to take a chance? There is so many hidden yards all through special teams that really, to me, make up the really difference of the game. And so when you see teams that go out and say, hey, look, I'm going to invest in a punter or a kicker, as like the Bengals did last year, and that paid off extraordinarily well for them, then you're hoping you see success like this where you feel great about that investment because you do get a lot of a grief, I think, draft day because everybody's like, oh, a punter. Like, you drafted a punter? Like, but in the reality is, if he ends up being what everyone hopes he can be, the guy can change games, and they do. And I think the really good ones, you think of the Shane Lecklers who punted for a long, long time. You can also, when you draft a punter, you might have him for 12 to 15 years. And that's the exciting thing about knowing that you've got somebody that you take care of. And also, usually, guy holds on field goals and extra points, which is a hidden important element of the punter.
Well, Mark, is this a one-off with this guy, or is this the news around football that this guy actually has a leg from God?
I think I do. I think I'd say it this way. I'd say that to be drafted, his consistency in college was really good, and that's a boom of a ball, and sometimes you just hit a sweet spot. But you got to feel pretty good about it. But whether he does it consistently, no, he's not going to ever be consistent like that. I don't think. I've never seen anything like that before. But the point is, like, again, in a game where you're at the 45 going, coming out of your end zone, so you've got 55 yards to the end zone, it's fourth and seven, so you punt, can this guy control the ball? And that's going to be the big thing to watch in these young guys, and they're working on everyday practice. But can he control the ball to make sure he knows, hey, I just got to hit it 46 yards right now? And that's what's amazing to me about punters is that the really good ones have the ability. I worked with a guy named Mark Royal, who was our punter for a long time in Tampa Bay. And he really understood how to spot the ball and almost be like, hey, there's that bucket over there. Let me see if I can punt it in the bucket. They're that kind of it's like a golfer.
Hmm.
Oh, my God. I'd love to have been part of that. Of course, all the other football players are tackling, you're pushing sleds and doing Oklahoma drills.
Yeah.
And there's the punter with flip-flops on going, hey, watch this. I'm going to do a trick shot. Then I'm going to hit the hibachi. Mark, as someone who you spent much of your career evaluating football at the highest level, I always wonder this. How much do you ever take away from the preseason where you look at something that you see and say that can translate into the regular season? Because we can get caught up only because, it's been so long since we've seen actual football. But I'm wondering for you, what did you ever keep an eye on that you said, okay, this could translate to September and beyond?
Well, you know what? You looked at the strength of a player, a functional strength. And it's a very simple thing to look for, but that's the big thing I think I look for. Because at this point now, even though maybe our third string corner is going against their third string wide receiver, the point is that you're seeing, like, let's say we're looking at the corner. how does he tackle? And when the ball gets complete, it's not just like, oh, he didn't get up there and make the PBU. It's the way he tackles. You know, does he wrap up? Does he hit with some thud? Does he hit with some force? Or vice versa on offense, does the running back break that tackle and make two more yards? Does the linebacker make the tackle but get dragged 2 or 3 yards? Does the offensive lineman stone the defensive lineman at the line of scrimmage, or can the defensive lineman, you know, get that leverage and just keep pushing through the pocket? So it's now that you get to see strength on strength, you're seeing who has the real functional strength. So take the combine bench press, you throw it out the window, and you're like, let's see what you can do. And to me, that's the big thing you look for in preseason when you're trying to evaluate your football team, but also look at that guy that across the team or across the field and say, you know, that guy, we might want to try to steal that guy if they try to get him through waivers, because he's got that functional strength that's hard to find. The other part is, especially for these athletes, is their feet. You know, how quick are their feet? In any drill, I don't care if you're offensive lineman or you're the safety, it's all about foot quickness. And that's what has some people very concerned about Kyle Hamilton right now, the Ravens' first pick.
Well, Mark, another thing that a lot of people pay attention to, especially, you know, the fans, you know, that watch football and that play fantasy football, are injuries, right, through the preseason. And after week one, we're already seeing a significant one in New York with Zach Wilson, a non-contact injury. They say that he, you know, he's going to require surgery, probably going to be out north of 4 weeks. How much does, like, what's the level of concern right now in New York around their quarterback situation with the health of Zach Wilson, who experienced some health issues last year and already in the preseason in a non-contact injury has experienced a new injury?
Yeah, so this is a, you know, they avoided catastrophe, right? Because it could have been worse. You know, he got the meniscus tear, but then they've got to go in and shave that. And so, Carl, you may have a better sense of it, but for people listening, usually what's happened is now his meniscus is torn slightly, but it's flapped over. And so now it's rubbing inside of his knee really bad. And if you continue, if it continues to rub, it continues to swell, and the body sends liquids there to say, hey, fix that, but it can't. Mm-hmm. And so the only way to fix that is that he's flying out to L.A. to get the doctor to go in there and actually, with a scope, and trim off the meniscus. Now, that works. The problem is you only have so much meniscus, and so I don't know how big a piece they've got to trim off, and it makes the knee weaker. And so it's one of those things where you're like, you hope it's just a one-time thing, because guys do get meniscus tears and they do trim them off and they play forever. But the thing is, there's only so much meniscus until it's bone on bone, and then you got a career-ending injury. And so, you know, I was thankful for him that it wasn't more severe, but I was disappointed it wasn't just an MCL strain or sprain where you don't have to do anything, right. You just have to let it rest. When you have to go in and trim it off a little bit, that's a little more concerning. And this has been a trend, like you're talking about with Zach Wilson already.
Note to self, don't take Zach Wilson as my final quarterback on my fantasy football
team. And don't take Joe Flacco either.
Well, no, that's,
and if you
no,
do,
that's
a, shame on yourself for having that, putting your team in that situation.
Right.
Unless you're in like a 16-team league, I'm going to be mad at you.
Yeah, exactly. Zach. Hey, we all draft 5 quarterbacks. What do you expect from us? Mark, to me, I think the most fascinating story is the San Francisco 49ers. Mm-hmm. They go to the Super Bowl a couple years ago. They go to the NFC Championship game last year, and now they have turned the key. They've given the keys to a quarterback that since high school has fewer pass attempts than what Tom Brady had last year. I'm curious your thoughts about the 49ers management team as a whole going, all right, we've done a lot of winning, but now it's time to go to pivot in a bit of a different direction.
Yeah, you got to give it credit. I mean, you know, I know that we talked about it last week. You know, Trey Lance out there in Shanahan's offense, which, again, I've always been a huge fan of what Shanahan does. And Trey did go out there and played well in his series. Now, he threw 5 balls, but he still threw 5 balls. And that's what matters. And you know, so you got to give him credit for that. And he also ran the ball, you know, effectively when he tucked it for the little bit. But we get to see. I mean, I'm excited. I mean, it's huge. I mean, if Trey Lance turns out to be this great player, I mean, he had the perfect quarterback rating. I think 3 quarterbacks this preseason or this weekend had a perfect 158.3 rating from the NFL schedule. And Trey was one of them. You know, I think he was 4 for 5 with the touchdown. So, you know, he did a great job of hitting that deep ball. And you got to give him credit for that as well. So it was a good start. And I think that's why Shanahan said, hey, look, let's end there no matter what. And we'll see how much we play him the next week, and then I think they'll get him on the field again, and then it'll be fun to see with real game plans going in, how good can Trey Lance be? But it was as good a start as you could ask for giving up 3 first rounders. I know it's a preseason game, but got to give him credit.
Yeah, well, sticking with the quarterback theme here, Mark, we saw a quarterback in Cleveland make his debut as a Cleveland Brown. I know it's only preseason, but he's been the center of a lot of controversy around the NFL because of the looming suspension that still hovers over top of him. What can you tell us about an update around the situation when the NFL is, you know, probably going to have a decision in mind? And you saw the statement, or at least the interview that he released. It was a weird interview, how he just, it's almost like it was scripted and planned on his own, where he just had it with a solo person from ESPN, and then the video went viral about, you know, apologizing for everything that he's done. Does that play into the decision making when it comes to the ruling around the suspension, and when can we expect one?
Yeah, so I think it was orchestrated correctly to put that out there just to show more remorse, I think is the right word to use, or you know, just to show more human side of his mistakes that he's made. And I think that was planted on purpose. Now, I expect the Jersey judge to be able to rule on this week. I don't think they're going to linger and have this linger on much further, because it's supposed to be expedited, meaning it's supposed to happen faster than normal. There's no new evidence. No one's putting anything in front of him. He's just reading both opinions, reading Sue Robinson's opinion, and then deciding whether it needs to be more or less. It is interesting that Sean came out there with his team and said, hey, we'll do a half a year and $5 million. And, you know, and it is allegedly, not allegedly, it is still legally allowed to be litigated between the two sides of what's the correct type of punishment. But if the league doesn't balk at that or says no to that, I mean, to me, the problem with doing that publicly is that you just told, you know, the Jersey judge that, hey, he's going to at least take 8 games and $5 million, so I can come in at least at that, if not more. And so I expect, again, I don't think this lingers on because it's supposed to be put out there. I expect it to be more of like the 10 to 12 games, and I expect it to be more of like his salary last year from $10 million.
Wow.
Mark, really appreciate Mark Domenech always joining us every week, former Bucks GM, NFL insider. Appreciate and enjoy whatever additional free time you have now that the kids are back in school.
Yep, looking forward to it. I've got a whole day in front of me. I'm trying to figure out what to do except for getting ready for that Broncos-Bills game, Carlo. So I got to see him. Get ready for that one.
Mark, here, I'll put some light on the situation. 4 Sundays left until the start of the NFL Red Zone channel. So
beautiful thing. Beautiful
thing.
Can't
wait.
Love it.
Can't wait, buddy. Excited to go along with you again. Let's do this.
Sounds good. Let's go. All right. Thanks for having me on.